seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 20, and the 19th verse. The Gospel according to John, chapter 20, and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. The Gospel according to John, chapter 20, and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. This was a most blessed and sacred day, one of the most blessed and sacred days that this earth has ever been favoured with. The day where the dear Redeemer rose triumphant from the grave. And what a day it was. Especially for those two dear disciples, Peter and the other disciple, that went first to the sepulchre, and then to dear Mary Magdalene, where the Lord turned all her weeping and sorrow into joy. And then the evening came. And, you know, sometimes it's the Lord's will to especially favour his dear disciples, his dear children in the evening hour. We think of that precious word that at evening time it shall be light. And there have been many times in the days when I was a hearer that we went to the house of God and the Lord especially favoured us in the evening hour. I remember some years ago in my early days at Ashwell, a godly lady, she said to me, you know, some of the evening services, when the servants of God are tired, when the evening had come, and often after three services, those evening times were the best. You see, at evening time it shall be light. And may it be so. In each of our souls this afternoon. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. In thinking of the Lord's Supper, in trying to pray the Lord would give us a word to bring here this afternoon, this word seemed to so rest upon me. And there are a few things that helped I just want to hint at. In the first place, these dear disciples were not gathered there by chance. There they were, gathered at that evening hour. There's no doubt there was much that they had got to consider as they gathered together of all that had taken place. First of all, of the great sufferings of their dear Redeemer. Secondly, his death at Calvary. And then on this glorious day of the resurrection. They got something to remember, haven't they? They got something that they were living witnesses of. They knew all that he had accomplished and all that he had endured. And their poor souls, no doubt, were overwhelmed by it all. And there they were gathered at this evening hour on the first day of the week. But then we find the doors were shut. And of course the reason why the doors were shut, because of the fear of the Jews. But you know, there's something far deeper and far more blessed than that. How sweet it is when we can go into the house of God and the doors be shut. I want to look at it in two ways. First of all, and it's often known that the evening hour and a weeknight service have been the busy things that many have had to attend to during the day. And how sacred it is when you can go in the house of God and all those things be shut out, the doors being shut. And not only in the sanctuary, but we need this in our own hearts. One felt when the text came how much we need the Lord to shut out. You see, when it's sweet when we can enter the house of God and the Lord shuts the world out. He shuts all the things of time which have so occupied our minds in the past hours. We cannot shut it out, but the Lord can. The door's being shut. But look in our own hearts. And one looks at it personally, I'll leave the other with you, but is there not much we need the Lord to shut out? You see, those enemies, the Jews and the enemies of Christ and of his dear disciples were shut out. Oh, they were. And look in our hearts, do we not need the world to be shut out from within us? We're poor creatures of the earth. We cannot shut out the world from within our hearts, but the Lord can. And he can do it in a moment. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Distracting thoughts and cares remove. And when the Lord does it, he shuts them all out, you see. And another hymn writer said that we might be wholly taken up by thee. But then we need him to shut out all those sins that trouble us, don't we? We need him to shut out all carnal thoughts, worldly thoughts, the things of time. And oh, is there not so much we need him to shut out? It may be something in your heart that seems to take you over and plague you and trouble you. But how sweet it is when the Lord shuts it all out. And here, the doors were shut. But then there's the other side to it, which is very sacred. They were to be shut in with the Lord. Oh, they were. We said in prayer, what is the house to me unless the Master there I see? And how sweet and sacred it is when we're shut in to God's house with the Lord. You see, these dear disciples, there they were gathered together, and they were shut in there, assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. One said, and I think I quote in prayer, "What is the house to me unless the master there I see? The bricks and mortar, just the building, will mean nothing to us then. All we want is to be shut in with the Lord, to commune with Him, to have sweet fellowship with Him, to hear His words." And there's no doubt these dear disciples have got some things as they were shut in there when He came in the midst that they could remember of what He'd spoken to them in days past. Oh, to be shut in with the Lord. So often we have to pray as we come to the house of God, "Lord, shut out everything that's carnal of this world, but shut us in with Thee." And when we're shut in with the Lord, we shall know what it is then to feel and know His sacred, blessed presence. And what will be the effect of it? It'll humble and melt the sinner's heart. You'll say, "Lord, why me? Why should I be so favoured to feel and to know Thy presence with us? And that sweet communion with Him." You look at Noah in the ark. We read, don't we, in the hymn that Jehovah shut him in. And if you look at it in both senses that we try to bring it before you this afternoon, you look at dear Noah, all that solemn destruction that the great flood had brought, and many ushered into eternity, all because of the sin and wickedness and corruption of the earth that man had brought. And what did the Lord do? He sent that great flood. But oh, think of dear Noah. The Lord shut him in. I think it's a wonderful word when we read in that beautiful chapter in Genesis, "And the Lord shut him in." The hymn writer said, didn't he? He needed no bar nor bolt. Jehovah shut him in. And when Noah was shut in there in that ark, he was shut in. The Lord was with him. He wasn't alone in that ark, you know. He will say, well, he had his family, his wife and loved ones, it's true. But he knew what it was to be shut in with the Lord. And when we're shut in with the Lord, He'll remove all distracting thoughts, all cares. And all we'll want to be Jesus' own. And we find here, Jesus and stood in the midst. Of course, there is that solemn account too, which Jesus so set forth, the man that went to the marriage, and he'd not got on the wedding garment. And we read, don't we, in the Gospels concerning that solemn account and the matters of eternity. You know, when the hour of death comes with the real child of God, with these chosen disciples that were here in this upper room, when they came to the hour of death, they were to be shut in eternally with the Lord forever. And so will all the dear redeemed children of God be shut in. But oh, how solemn to be shut out. Does it concern you and concern me this afternoon? The hymn writer was so concerned in it, wasn't he? He said, oh, could I bear that piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them should call? Oh, to be, it greatly concerns me. The older we get, you know, the nearer we get to eternity. You think each week we come here on the Lord's Day is a week nearer our end. And how stands the case, one said, my soul with thee, a heaven thy credentials clear, is Jesus' blood thy only plea, is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, to be prepared and to be ready. You think how solemn it'll be if we've not got on the wedding garment when the heavenly bridegroom comes. May we never be left to climb up some other way. But oh, may we be like these dear disciples. You see, they could look back and they could see how the Lord called them from their fishing boats, how he called Matthew from the receipt of custom. The Lord commanded them, follow me, didn't he? And what do we read? They left all. It was all to be shut out. And followed him. You know, that's a word really we need to prayerfully lay to heart continually, where they left all. Now look in your heart and mind, the day's going to come where we shall have to leave everything. We may have a goodly home, we may have loved ones that love us much and we bless the Lord for them, but the day's coming, you know, when we shall have to leave them all and bid farewell to this earth. This is not our home, you see. The hymn writer said, we've no abiding city here. Sad truth were this to be our home. It could not, should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. You know, I hadn't thought of this before, but you know, really, when Christ came, of course, under the Old Testament law, Moses, the 6 days shalt thou labour, and the seventh day shall be the day of rest. But when Christ came, it was after the resurrection, it was the first day of the week. And you know, that's wonderful, really. I never thought of it before, but you know, really, we should put it as the first day of the week. It must come first. The Lord must be first in all things. And I know we will go through and toil through the week and then cometh, but you think of it, really, the house of God should be first to us. The seeking of the Lord to serve him should be first. The first commandment of God was to, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then the other commandments followed, didn't they? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the day of most importance, you see. You look around today, the millions, and we don't throw any stones at them, but they don't put it the first day of the week, do they? Only for their pleasure. And where would we be were it not for the grace of God? Being the first day of the week when the doors were shut. Oh, may we know more and more what it is in our homes, in our bedroom, to be shut in with the Lord, and then particularly in the house of God, shut in with him. It may be in your afflictions, it may be in your trials and the dark places you come into, but all to be in them, and the Lord be with you in them. That'll make the very bittersweet of affliction, of trial, of temptation, if you shut in with the Lord in it. And He shut in your poor heart. Oh, may we know more and more of the blessing of that and the sweet experience of it, because when He comes and visits the troubled breast, what happens? The hymn writer said, our doubts subside, our fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Oh, may we know more and more of that blessedness of it in our souls. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Well, let us pause a moment, poor soul. When was the last time the Lord came to you and came to me? And the Lord came in the midst. And you see, that will make all the difference to us. You think of the Lord's Supper. How sweet it is when the Lord comes in the midst. And as we partake of those sacred emblems, our soul will all want to do is to consider Him and to be humbled at His dear feet. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. I remember my late dear pastor at Staples, Mr. Hammond, in my early days, he went to Bath to hear the late Mr. Carr preach, and he said, you know, as dear Mr. Carr preached, he said he never forgot it. He said if ever the Lord stood in the midst, he said he did where that dear man preached. And the Lord so blessed dear Mr. Hammond under it, he never forgot it, you know. These times where Jesus comes in the midst, you'll never forget them. They're very sacred. They're very blessed. I remember like Mr. Mulvey saying that he was asked to preach at a little chapel in somewhere in Sussex, I don't know where it was, but he said, you know, I went there on that week evening service. He said, there were only three there. And he said, the devil said to me, he said, oh, you'll start preaching and they'll all be asleep because of their weakness and old age. He said, what's the point of you going? Well, the dear man ventured to go, you know. And he said, when he got up and announced the text, he said, the Lord so came in the sanctuary. He said he filled the place. And he said, as I preached, instead of them all being asleep, he said, they were all in tears with the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the difference when He is in the midst, you see. As we quoted earlier, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And you know, these dear disciples were so sweetly experiencing. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. The doors being shut didn't hinder Him coming, did it? In the midst. Oh no. He came in the midst. But then that wasn't all, and just briefly before we leave it, but he says that we read this. He speaks to them. But before I name what he said, oh, you think of what we read concerning dear Thomas. And oh, how he was to never forget that blessed time where the Lord showed him his hands and his side. But, oh, he saith here, unto them peace be unto you. There's no doubt there was much that tossed them around, that troubled them, all that had taken place, and their poor, finite, carnal minds couldn't understand it or begin to comprehend it. But what does he do? He settles their hearts. Peace be unto you. And it may be that there's those things that toss you around this afternoon, perplex you, and you wonder where the scene will end in them. But what has settled it? And what has settled your poor heart? The Lord say to you, peace be unto you. And you see, this peace that he was speaking of here, he brought with him as he came. Glorious peace. I love that sacred hymn. Peace by his cross as Jesus made. And oh, you think of those sacred lines in it. When thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. It all flows through his precious blood. It all flows through Calvary to poor sinners' hearts. Peace be unto you. We name this morning the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood, how in her case this was wonderfully to be fulfilled. He says, go in peace. Go in peace. And she could, couldn't she? And there's only one way to peace, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus. Through his pardoning love. And what does it bring? Peace to sinners. This glorious peace. You cannot begin to describe it, can you? Not even the apostle, with all the grace and integrity and wisdom given to him. What does he say about it? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And as we go from the house of God today, may we know a little of that peace in our souls. Think of dear Hannah in all her troubles when Eli was to be the messenger to her. And what does he say to her? Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And oh, she could well go and her countenance be no more sad. Oh, she got peace. Then the same day, at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Before I leave it, let me just remind you of what followed. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And what was the effect of that? We read this. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, how he revealed to them the great cost of their salvation. And then he was to reveal it to Thomas. And what were you, if he shows you by faith, poor soul, a glimpse of those pierced hands and feet and side, like he did to Thomas, what did Thomas say? from a very tender, broken-hearted Thomas, my Lord and my God. He could truly claim him as his. And if the Lord reveal himself to you, he comes in the midst and reveal himself to you, to me, just as he did Thomas, we shall know what it is for our hearts to be melted and be able to say, my Lord and my God. Amen.